Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Here we do.
The Mets are Metsin. Kevin Durant and the Rockets get sent home. And who is a real contender to take on the Dodgers in October? We begin today's show with the passing of John Sterling. 38 years of broadcasting. He covered over 5,600 games. His famous catchphrases of the Yankees win, the Yankees win. And that's an A-bomb from A-Rod. And it's high, it's far, it is gone. And of course, that's baseball season. But, you know, these catchphrases will always be remembered, but what will you remember most about John Sterling?
Sometimes the depth perception wasn't there. Mid is high, mid is far, it's a pop-up to the second baseman. So, you know, it happens. Oh, oh, Susan. Oh, my. Oh, whoa. Whoa. Had plenty of those. Swishalicious was good. You're on the mark, Teixeira. Like, that was a classic. Burn, Baby, Burn. Georgie Juiced one. A Thriller by Godzilla. They weren't all winners. The Giancarlo Stanton one was awful. No si posto Paolo. No, okay, sure, fine, whatever. The dude's not even Italian, but whatever. That's fine. Jeter didn't have a good one. He needed to add all rise to make the judge one work. Seemed like low-hanging fruit. But overall, I mean, he broadcast for the Hawks. He broadcast for the Braves. He broadcast for the Islanders. He had a radio show on WFAN. He had a career beyond being the voice of the New York Yankees. And what are you going to remember? You're going to remember him, at least I am, as sound bites. You know, you're going to remember Bob Uecker, like you're going to remember Harry Carey. Like they're characters, man. Hawk Harrelson. What memorable home run call besides put him on the board? Yes. Like that's him, right? You remember John Sterling forever for what he has done and the radio calls that he has put out there. It is something. The Yankees still have not replaced him. You know, Dave Sims is fine technically, but he's as exciting as watching paint dry. Like, you know, he brought color. That's what John Sterling is known for. He brought his personality, the Gilbert and Sullivan, and the Simon, you know, the Broadway songs and the home run calls and the That's Baseball Susan. Like, he was a personality. And that's what a broadcast needs. It can't just be X's and O's. It can't just be the technical element of it. You know, that's fine, but it's not exciting. Radio is supposed to paint a picture. John Sterling would have been terrible on TV. His style was made for radio. Mm. Like, that's what he was good at. He was able to paint a picture. Now, it wasn't always the clearest of pictures, but he painted a picture for the audience. And you could picture what was going on. sometimes minor details got in the way of that picture, you know, like the score, with the inning, who's up. Sometimes minor details.
A lot of people complain that he never said the score. He'd only say it at the end of the inning.
Never. Minor detail. Who's winning? What inning is it? John, help me. I just tuned in. Give me it. Thank God for Susan Waldman. And before that, thank God for Michael Kay. Somebody had to fill in. Somebody had to backfill the information. But he and Susan Waldman were a very charismatic booth. He and Charlie Steiner, interesting. I mean, the rumor was he got Charlie Steiner fired for stepping on his home run call for the Aaron Boone homer.
No way. No
way. That was the rumor. That was the rumor. Because he joined in on the Yankees win. Meanwhile, Charlie Steiner was just so excited. It's like, he was just calling in. I mean, Charlie Steiner won. I believe he
balls on this kid. I had him fired the next day.
Some bitch. Who do you think you are? Who the hell do you think you are? His best pairing was him and Michael Kay. Like, it was the best blend of everybody. And we talked about it before. They voiced All-Star Baseball 99 for N64. And I remember that vividly. You know, it was very good. It was very good. And games at that time didn't really have that level of commentary. And for them to do it and to do it well was excellent. But John Sterling will be remembered as a character like Phil Rizzuto, like Hawk Harrelson, like Harry Carey. He had his memorable calls. He had his clunkers. But overall, people will look back on John Sterling's legacy and they'll smile. They'll absolutely smile.
Yeah, so I remember when I was with the Yankees, they would broadcast his commentary, the play-by-play, in the Loge section. So you worked in the Loge, you'd hear it the whole game, him and Susan Waldman. I mean, listen, he's legendary for what he did. 38 years. I think he called all of Jeter's games, all of Bernie's games. It's very impressive. I wasn't a huge fan. I have to admit, I really wasn't a huge fan for some of the reasons you say. His catchphrases will always be remembered. I agree. To me, I know it's a different job. But Bob Shepard, to me, was a little bit more iconic than John Sterling. And no disrespect, but what Bob saw with his eyes over all the years he was there, my God. Like, my God. So, but I mean, listen, the man lived a good life. I mean, well into his 80s, worked for the Yankees. I mean, he was a little odd, but most people in radio are. So, like you said, he was made for radio. Good career, good times. I have all good things to say about it. So,
but we're losing onward and upward. Yeah, absolutely. But we're losing those personalities. You know, like who's colorful now? Like, who would you say is a colorful broadcaster?
In baseball?
In any, well, outside of like Dusty Johnson.
I like Mike Green. I do.
Okay.
I like
Mike. Like out there, like in John Sterling territory. It's got to be like Gus Johnson,
Johnson's
right?
Good. Was it Kenny Albert?
Okay.
Kenny Albert. I like Kenny Albert.
Doc Emmerich used to be before he retired. Yeah, like everybody's like Joe Davis is fine. He doesn't do anything for me. You know, like
the other guy. I want to say it's Kevin Burkhart.
Burkhart, yeah, another guy, like solid, but doesn't really do anything for me.
He's okay. Like, I gotta be honest with you. You know, back in the day, I think you know, I used to watch the games on mute.
Yes.
I didn't want to fucking hear anybody.
Yeah.
And no, now there's a station now where you can watch it with just crowd noise, which is great.
That's beautiful.
So I don't really need all the hoopla. I mean, it's nice and dandy, but sometimes I just don't wanna. Yeah. I don't want to hear.
True.
You know the stuff, but no, it's great.
I mean, it just brings back memories of me you know, driving around my dad, my parents, and like you'd have the Yankee game on, and it's nostalgia, you know, for the good and the bad of John Sterling's style. It is nostalgia, and you know, it's always going to kind of, you know, it's going to pull at your heartstrings a little bit, and it's going to, you know, it's going to make you think about when you were a kid. But you know, I'm with you. Like today's broadcast, no, I'm good with the sounds of the ballpark. I really don't need the excess of it. Like Gary Cohen is fine. Like Gary Cohen's fine. The Mets broadcast booth is fine. Like John Smoltz, he's hit or miss depending on what team he's broadcasting, I find. Joe Davis, I can't stand Joe Davis. I can't stand him. I'm sorry. So in terms of baseball, like, you lost a character, and baseball is one of those sports that desperately needs characters. So we'll see, but we lost another voice of the past, another voice of our youth, and you know, rest in peace, John Sterling.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
But there's no easy way to transition. There really is no easy way to transition out of this. But meet the mess. Meet the mess. Everybody beats the mess. Yeah. Had to break out some song in honor of John Sterling. The Mets are currently the second worst team in baseball with one of the highest payrolls. So David Stearns came out last week and said Mendy is safe. Even though the Red Sox fired their manager. The Phillies have fired their manager. I believe they're 8-1 and now tied for second place. Donnie Baseball, ladies and gentlemen. Don Mattingly effect. The team lacks identity, pitching, timely hitting, intimidation, a competent manager, a good GM, a guy who puts cheese on nachos. Take your pick. I think the only bright spot is Mr. Met at this point. Will this be a lost season? Oh, I'll ask the Brave fan. Is this going to be a lost season?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. I mean, unless they're going to go on some ridiculous run, I just don't see how they turn this around. Like, what's their identity? Who are they? Lindor being hurt really doesn't help anything. I mean, Soto's numbers are good, but they're like Ben Rice numbers. That's not what you're really paying for, right? The pitching staff has just got awful. Peterson, I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't know what's going on with this team. And for David Stern to, and that's his name, right? Stearns,
yeah.
Yeah, for him to come out and say Mendy is safe, well, why? Why? What are we paying him for? I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, is he pulling a Moneyball situation? He's like, I don't believe our record's an accurate indicator of how good we are. You know, we just need to play more games. You know? And I don't know. What's the numbers? Like, I don't think they're doing well in any category. I don't think they're hitting well. Nope. I don't think they're fielding well. I know they're not pitching well. Nope. So, you look at the players that they traded away or the players that left.
Yeah.
Nimmo. Wow.
Jeff McNeil's in, what, 350? Like
McNeil?
Motherfucker.
For the first place, Oakland Athletics? Right? They're in first, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Wes?
He seemed to be right on Pete, but the problem is that nobody has stepped up to replace Pete. So even a bad Pete is better than who they got.
Yeah, so is this a lost season? I think it is. But since it's a lost season, let's be proactive about this. Let's call it what it is right now. and let's start to make moves that are better. Let's bring up guys that we're waiting on to become players, and let's see if they can play. Mm-hmm. Let's trade Baby. Let's trade. Jorge Polanco? What the hell happened to Jorge Polanco? Does he even play?
IL.
You know, he's on the IL. He got hurt playing first because it's incredibly hard.
Tell him
I think the catcher is like Alvarez is probably the best player in the damn team right now. Try to trade him. It's like you just. And the Braves aren't world beaters. They're not that great. So, and the division's not that great. But I think you need to, you got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. You know, and just that's where I'm at.
It's 35 games in for the most part. I mean, they're 13 and 22. They're going to start in a few minutes out in Colorado. They got snowed out yesterday, yes. So they're in the same boat as
the second worst team in the league. The Angels are the worst team in the league. They're 13 and 23.
Yes. Now, your leading hitter is Bo Bichette at 236.
He's playing terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a contract year for him.
Two homers, 15 ribbies. That's what you got. A. And they refuse to play him at shortstop. He's a shortstop. Lindor's hurt. You have a shortstop on the team. You have 5 second basemen rotating between second, first, the outfield, and bench. The fuck? Do you know who the team leader?
That's like when A-Rod was on the Yankees and Jeter got hurt. They wouldn't let A-Rod play shortstop. No, it's like, what the fuck, guys?
God damn it!
The best shortstop in the motherfucking league is playing third base right now.
But Skip, I can play shortstop. The fuck you will.
I can play the whole left side of the infield, motherfuckers.
The fuck you will. The team leader is Mark Vientos with 4 homers.
He's another guy that's trash.
Cuatro. Bo Bichette has 15. That's the team lead. 15 ribbies. They can't hit. Fielding has. I mean, the whole point of this was run prevention. The fielding isn't awful. It's not great. Clay Holmes has been a revelation this year. 4 wins, 1.69 ERA. So he's been good. McClain has been okay. Williams is a fucking nightmare. Williams was going to be a nightmare. Weaver's been better. Peralta's been up and down. He's been better, but he did not start great.
He's been who he is. It's who he is.
Yeah. No, he's not an ace. He traded for him as if he was an ace. Like, he was behind Woodruff, and he was behind Woodruff for a reason. He was the third starter on that team behind Woodruff and Burns.
And he's good.
He's good. He's a good pitcher. So maybe Holmes is your ace. God help me, Clay Holmes is the ace. Yeah, exactly. So maybe it is. Maybe it's Holmes, McClain, Peralta. Maybe that's the rotation right there. Peterson has not been the same since he was on that hot streak last year, and then his back started flaring up, his knee started flaring up, and he has not been the same. He pitched well in long relief the other day, but that's not why you have him, right? Manaea is there to be the long relief guy. And Manaea, he's been better in the long relief role, but still, he can't break a glass with his fastball. It's not what you're getting. You know, you're getting like 88 from Sean Manaea. It's not what you hoped for. So it would be a good idea to see what you can get for some of these guys, but who has value right now? The problem is you're selling low on so many guys. Right? Bo Bichette, say you're gonna deal Bichette, right? Okay, we're punting on the season. We're going to listen on Bo Bichette. 2 homers, 15 ribbies, and a 236 average? What the hell are you going to get for that?
No,
a bag of balls? A player to be named later? Or cash?
He has no value.
He's got no value. Vientos has no value. Baty has no value. Luis Robert just got hurt. So Simeon has no value. Simeon has no value. Polanco Simeon has no value.
No value.
None.
Simeon is no value. None.
208.
215 hitter. He's 208 now.
One homer, 11 ribbies. Brandon
Nimmo came that trade.
Fucking 80.
I didn't understand that trade.
Run prevention, my friend. It was mostly because Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor apparently don't get along. You don't have to get along with your teammates to win. Here's a newsflash for you. The Bronx Zoo hated each other. And they won. You don't have to be best friends. Get on the fucking field and play the fuck together. That's what you have to do. I've been trying to impress that on my softball team all goddamn season. And we're 4-6. We're 4-6. And it feels very much the same. A bunch of individuals. But play the kids. That's what you got to do. Call up Clifford. Call up Ewing.
Right.
Give Benj a prominent role. Mauricio was getting his shot until he fractured his thumb. And even when he does get his shot, he can't hit a curveball. Ronnie Mauricio can't hit a curveball. Like, plain and simple. When Lindor gets back, what the hell is this team? Right? Because right now, 13-22 ain't cutting it. They weren't that much better with him, right? He was on the field for a lot of that 12-game losing streak. He was here. So you can't really say that, Francisco Lindor is the shot in the arm they need. Juan Soto was a temporary fix. Let's see if he takes off at all. But, you know, it's getting late early.
Let's see if he takes off at all. He's only one guy.
Right. That's my point. Like, even as far as, you know, you can't carry a team. It's not basketball. One dude, like Jalen Brunson, can tell the team, get on my fucking back and let's go. There's only 15 guys. Like here, like you're only starting five. Here, you got to carry 25 other schlubs on your damn back. He's only one man, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And this
bullpen is broke. I don't know how interested he is in being the guy either.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, you figure it's not what he signed up for when he came last year, right?
Yeah. He thought he was going to be part of an ensemble. He thought they were on the rise.
Yeah. But now he's a guy on a middling team. He's the guy on a middling team who, frankly, they're treading water and they don't have the horse.
No, they're not treading water. They're drowning. They're drowning right now. The lifeboats are on their way. The life raft has been thrown into the water. They're drowning.
And what does keeping Mendy actually do? Right? Yeah, the Red Sox, granted, they haven't done what the Phillies have done, but they've won a few games since Chad Tracy took over. Right? Don Mattingly's lost one fucking game. He figured
they've
also
been playing trash. They've been playing trash.
Yeah, but he also figured the line. The Mets are playing trash. They're playing the Rockies. The Mets are playing the fucking Rockies.
The Rockies swept them last week.
And they have the identical record. They're three games better? Like, they're all in the same shitty boat. They're all in the same shitty boat right now.
I don't even think it's a boat. It's more like a raft at this point.
It's that raft full of shit-smelling foulness.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Well, we've talked about the second worst team in the league, so let's talk about the worst team in the league. It's actually the Angels.
They are 10 games under 500 with a record of 13-23. Despite the terrible season they are having, again, Mike Trout looks like vintage Mike Trout with 10 home runs, OPS of 955. So is this the year the Angels finally trade him to get better?
.260, 11 homers, .429 on base percentage. It's a good year. It's a good year for Mike Trout. 11-23.
It's a Mike Trout type year. He's stealing bases too.
Uh-huh. Now,
I think he's top 10 in home runs. I'm going to say.
Here's why you can never bank on Mike Trout. As good as he is now, he could get hurt next week and he'll be out for months.
And you think that's coming?
Oh, dude, that train's never late. That train is never late. Him and Giancarlo Stanton, you can set your watch by their IL stint. It's a matter of time that Mike Trout is going to end up on the IL. And you're not going to get the package that you want for him. You should have done that 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You should have cashed in. But you brought an Ohtani. You tried to make Trout and Ohtani work. Surprise, surprise.
That team was loaded. Didn't that team also have
Rendon?
Didn't that team also? Yeah.
And you, Mister, you're saying I'm a bitch. Yes, that was the same team. And they didn't
Pujols
do anything
on that
then.
Team?
You had the tail end of Pujols as well. You had Pujols for a little while before he went to the Dodgers. That's right. But it's too late. It's too late. I mean, Joe Adell is finally having a good year. He's finally cashing in, living up to that promise. You know, 258, okay. 4-21. So that's great. They think they have something in Zach Neto. And it appears to be the case. He's got decent power numbers. This kid, you know, this pitcher, where the hell did he come from?
Soriano?
You know, Jose Soriano, 5 wins, 1.74 ERA. Like, okay, that's
impressive.
Not only
went up because he played like shit against the White Sox. The White Sox hit him up right for like 6 runs. That's the only reason why his ERA went so high.
So maybe they figured his ass out. So we can see. I mean, Jordan Romano was their closer. I think they released him. So there's that. But, I mean, what can you hope to get from Mike Trout? You're not getting multiple top prospects at this point because of his injury history. I would say that if you're going to do it, and the Mike Trout to the Phillies thing is dead. Like, you've been saying that for years. It's dead. I don't think the Phillies are going to kick the tires on him.
They're not in a position.
The Phillies are 16-20. There's no point.
Yeah,
there's no point. So, like, maybe there's a young team out there who needs a power bat. Like, maybe there's a team who needs that veteran presence.
Well, what about the Yankees? Grisham is playing like shit in center field. His batting average is 174.
So you're going to you can set your watch by Trout and Stanton's injuries and put them on the same team. That's bold.
I'm just saying, like.
All right. So.
Toronto.
If he's going to be the DH, I don't think I can't put him on the turf. I can't put him on
Dodgers?
The turf. Oh, fuck. No. Sure.
I mean, he'd love to stay in LA. He doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to leave Los Angeles.
Padres, do they have enough to they moved Tatis to second, so they could use an outfielder.
Rangers,
that would be
I don't think they would trade him in division.
They wouldn't trade
though,
in division,
right?
No, I don't think they would trade in division.
That'd be a real kick.
What about
in the dick?
Braves? You think the Braves could swing?
We have
there?
A center fielder.
Yeah, but
Michael Harris.
Yeah, but you want DH? Like, he'll replace. He's effectively replacing Marcelo Zuna. And Acuna is already on the IL, so like he would get some burn in the outfield. And at this point, I would say he's a corner outfield. I wouldn't say he's a center fielder for his own sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Braves don't
even
make
like
moves
the Cubs.
Like that,
I think
though,
Michael Conforto was their left fielder.
Yes.
Like, I think Conforto. That Mike Trout is an upgrade to Michael Conforto. Maybe that's me. Call me crazy.
Conforto.
Conforto. But what are you, where do you think he's going? You're thinking Yankees? Like, where are some other teams that you think would be interested in Mr. Trout?
You know, I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that he's never going to leave there because he doesn't want to leave there. Like, you know, this is a two-way street here. It's not only like they haven't wanted to move him, but he hasn't wanted to leave. He hasn't asked to leave. He doesn't want to uproot his family and things like that. He doesn't really care about winning. You know, he just cares about a comfortable lifestyle playing basketball, which is fine if that's the life he wants to live. Yeah, I mean, if Grisham keeps playing like shit, I can see the Yankees calling, especially if Stan gets hurt, right? Especially if something happens to Judge, too. Yeah. They certainly have the prospects for it. How about Anthony Volpe out there? What's going on with... Whoa, we didn't even... How about that? My man is down in Scranton. He got a hit off of Zach Miller, though, today.
Nice. Good for Anthony Volpe. Yeah, that's great. It's the shot in the arm.
Is that experiment over?
I think it's a matter of time. Like, you figure he's down because Caballero, like, he provides that stolen base skill set, and he plays excellent defense. Rosario has versatility. McMahon is a gold glove winner at third base. And then there's Jazz. So he's the first guy up in case anything happens to a non-first-based infielder. But you got to figure he's not for long. Like, too many strikeouts, too much lift, trying to hit home runs. We went over with Rob Adams. Like, I can't distinguish whether or not, you know, he's doing what they're telling him to do. And if that's the case, then that's pretty fucking terrible too. That's a bad job by the Yankees.
You know, someone brought up something to me where they were like, they thought that he showed some power, and when he showed some power, they tried to turn him into a power hitter. And that's where it all works out. Sense. And it's like we would like you to hit for power because we know you can just cut down on the strikeouts, and he can't do that. Because if you look at Caballero, it's not like his numbers are that much better, hitting wise. They're not that spectacular, and he strikes out just as much. They both strike out.
Yeah,
it seems like a casual case of like, you know, we have one of the best records in Major League Baseball. Why are we going to fuck with this? Like,
it's one of those good problems.
He hasn't been what we wanted him to. He hasn't been what we wanted him to be. Why are we even going to bother? You know. Which makes me wonder, like, are you going to try to build up his value and trade him? Or what, is he the next Clint Frazier?
I would also consider, you know, because none of your top prospects are outfielders now. Like, yes, Dominguez, but Dominguez at this point, I consider him a major league player.
Isn't Spencer Jones an outfielder?
Spencer Jones is a corner outfielder. I wouldn't, he's really... No, I mean, he's been playing at AAA, but... I don't really know what they consider him because he's a hitter. His position is hitter. So maybe this is a chance for them to kind of figure out Volpe's versatility. And maybe you can kind of... Maybe you can find a center fielder there. Like, try it. He has a strong arm. So
move him to the outfield. Not even try to play him in the infield. Like, move him to the outfield.
It might be worth a shot to see if he can do it. And the minor leagues is where you want to do it. You don't want him learning the outfield on the job like you tried to teach Ben Rice how to catch. Right? Like, at some point, use the minor leagues for what it is. A chance to develop.
Could he play center field, maybe?
Who knows? Well, you don't know until you try him out there. Because you know what? George Lombard is right there, and he's going to lap Anthony Volpe. He's right there. And Spencer Jones is never going to come to the bigs. So maybe Spencer Jones is the key to getting Mike Trout. You know, maybe that's the case. You keep Lombard, you trade Jones, and, you know, you make him the centerpiece of a Trout trade. Like, I don't know. I don't know what Perry Manassi, I don't know what the Angels would want, because the Angels have been so bad for so long. And you figure they're going to want, like, a LaGrange. That's not happening. They're going to want, you know, they can want all they want. But at some point, that price tag is going to come down. But, as far as the Yankees go, why not? Like, give it a shot. Like, what's the worst that could happen? He's not good. He's not that great shortstop either. Hate to break it to you.
Yeah, I was shocked. They just took too long. They took too long to send him down. They should have sent him down his rookie year when he was struggling hitting. And I feel like this was just a mismanagement. The Yankees mismanaged this guy. They just did. And the other part is they bumped him up too high. They made him sound like he was untouchable. They built it up. Instead of just being, regular about it, like casual about it, you made it sound like this guy was the second coming. And now he fell flat in his face. And now his value, he has no value. There's no value.
None.
Like two years ago, people were trading for him and were interested in. 3 years ago was peak. He was ready. He's coming up. He's going to start for us. Okay, here's the sun and the moon and the stars. Nope, he's our guy. Come the fuck on. But it doesn't matter. Whatever the Yankees are doing, it's working. They seem to be in prime position to win the American League East. I don't think Tampa is going to catch them. Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com. And Buster Olney thinks that the Yankees, the Braves, and the Cubs have a chance to beat the Dodgers, but mainly the Yankees and the Braves. Can you see any of these teams beating the Dodgers in the 7-game series?
The Rays are currently 24-12. They're a game behind the Yankees. So
wild.
And
shit.
Last time I checked, the Yankees did kind of they gagged it up to the Blue Jays last year. So the Yankees can be had. They are getting Cole back. They are getting Rodon back. But we shall see. Is there this Yankee lineup can be pitched too? Right, the Dodger rotation can pitch to anybody. The Yankees strike out a lot. The Dodger pitchers strike out a lot of guys. Is Ben Rice going to keep up the 343 clip? No. Is he going to be the best player, the best hitter on the team, not named Aaron Judge? No. He'll come back. Can you expect Cody Bellinger to be at 283 for the remainder of the year? No. The Yankees have not hit their down part of their year yet. It comes for everybody. The Braves, they just lost Ronald Acuna. Let's see how long that's for. Olsen seems to be doing okay. Look at Ozzy Albies. It was from get this guy off the fucking team. Now he's he's leading the team in average. So, good for Ozzy Albies. Like, whatever he did in the offseason, it worked. For me, it's about the pitching for the Braves. What are you getting from Strider, number one? Can Chris Sale stay healthy, number two? And who the hell else is there, number three? Because
Schwellenbach hasn't even picked up a baseball.
Schwellenbach is done. Ronaldo Lopez got moved to the bullpen. Right? Do you believe in Bryce Elder? Do you believe in Grant Holmes? You have the corpse of Martin Perez. So that's a team that is going to be looking for pitching at the deadline. That's a team that's going to need that. Who's getting the ball to Raisel Iglesias? Bummer? I think you need a little bit more there. Offense, I think they'll be fine. They could possibly slug with the Dodgers. I don't think they could pitch with the Dodgers. And then you got the Cubs. Nico Horner's having a great year. Alex Bregman is meh. Pete Crow Armstrong, eh, not great. You're not getting a lot of your Suzuki's having a good year. Matt Shaw is having a surprisingly good year at the plate, 284, 3-10. You want to see a little bit more power. They're probably going to be in the market for another bat. Pitching, they lost Cade Horton. They just lost Matthew Boyd today. He had a meniscus tear. He was playing with his kids. Tore his meniscus. God damn it. Colin Ray leads that team and wins. Yeah, that's not great. I mean, Imanaga, Cabrera, Tyone. That's kind of stretching credulity for me. Imanaga is good. Tyone has been a solid arm in the league for years. Edward Cabrera has a lot of promise. But I just... when you compare that to the Dodgers... When you compare that to the Dodgers, who can throw Otani, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Sasaki. Yeah.
Snell.
So Sasaki will probably be the closer again if Diaz can't. Diaz with his loose bodies.
What's his face is closing games? The old closer for the Padres is closing games.
Tanner Scott?
Tanner Scott's closing games.
Yeah. Right. And then you have Trinan. But come on now. What are we talking about? And Alex Vesia will be there this year, you figure. It's an embarrassment of riches. And you know, as well as I do, that if the Tigers can't stay in the race, Tarek Skubal is going to be a fucking Dodger. They're going to find a way to make that happen. They're out. He's out 2-3 months. That lines up right for the trade deadline. And the Dodgers will fucking make that happen. So, because they can. Good luck with that, motherfucker. Good luck with that. So, in short, I don't agree with Buster Olney's assessment. I really don't, because everybody has holes, and nobody seems to be doing anything about filling them, at least not yet. And the fewest holes still belong to the Dodgers. If you're going to make me choose, I'll take the Yankees, just because they're getting healthier. You're going to get Cole. You're going to get Rodon. Like, you're getting your guys back. So, if you're forcing me, if you're twisting my arm, I'll take the Yankees as a possibility to beat the Dodgers. Not likelihood, just possibility.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with you. I don't see what Buster sees. I mean, I feel like Buster knows more than I do. But like I said, he's saying he thinks the Braves and the Yankees are the only two teams right now presently constituted that can contend with the Dodgers. I don't see it. Braves are very flawed. Managerial. Pitching. Austin Riley can't hit. We only have three guys in the team that can hit a damn. The only reason why they're in first and they have, I think, the best record in the league is because we don't play nobody. We don't play any good teams. The whole National League East sucks. They're all terrible. And the Yankees, so the Yankees, like you said, I think they're flawed. I think the pitching could get them by. I don't think they can hit with the Dodgers, though. I don't think they can, like, for 7 games and 9 innings, you're gonna keep them under 6 runs, under 5 runs. I don't see it. And I think a lot of this, like, the Dodgers don't even have their best players. Like, Mookie Betts is not there.
Right.
Snell is not there. And to the Yankees' credit, they don't have two of their good pitchers, right? But, you know, it's just stupid. It's Mookie Betts. It's Freddie Freeman. It's who's the outfielder they just got? The one they signed in the offseason. Tucker. It's Tucker.
Teoscar Hernandez is still there.
Ohtani. Teoscar Hernandez.
Playoff Max Muncy.
Playoff Max Muncy. Probably this is his last year. He ain't going down with an L.
No.
So no, I don't agree with him. Now, they might get a game or two, but to say that they're gonna win 4 out of 7? Eesh.
Now, that's you a tall had order. The one saving grace, right? You now have Freed. You didn't have Freed when you played them last time in the World Series, if you're the Yankees. You also have Schlittler. Cam Schlittler seems to be the goods.
I would think that now with Tarek Skubal gone, Schlittler's probably the lead candidate for the Cy Young Award in the American League, right?
Yeah. I would throw Schlittler up there. I think he's got as good
But my thing is can Cam Schlittler pitch 6 innings of baseball against the Dodgers in the playoffs in LA, potentially? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know what that looks like.
I'm more concerned about the back end of the bullpen. Is Camilo Doval and David Bednar, are they gonna shit their pants in the World Series against the Dodgers?
Who isn't?
Mm.
Who's right? gonna come in that pitch that lineup?
Who's pitching
here? Get these 3 guys out. What the right. fuck?
If you have a lead in the 9th inning and you're running up there against Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman with Bednar? He's been good as a Yankee. I mean, and he's going to be a better choice than Nestor Cortez was. So, I mean, they are better. They're better suited for the rematch. But it was such an ass whooping last time that I don't know if it's any better. Like, maybe they'll get another game. Like, that's all I'm seeing.
Yeah,
they'll
get another game.
They need more. They absolutely need
more. Yeah. More firepower.
They need a better catcher. Like, they need better than Wells. They need
third baseman.
They need a third baseman. Ryan McMahon is a great defensive replacement. He is what Doug Minkiewicz was to the Red Sox. Millar played 8, Minkiewicz played the 9th. When you absolutely needed to prevent runs. You have 3 shortstops, you have no shortstop. Like, you brought in Jazz. I don't know. I just don't.
Also a guy that says he can't play in cold weather.
Right. I mean, fortunately for him, 4 of those games will be in LA. But
Probably.
And then Grisham, your $22 million center fielder. And then if he doesn't play, you're gonna put Dominguez out there. So I would say the Yankees need an outfielder. But you know, only time will tell. Only time will tell. Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com. Speaking of only time will tell, Kevin Durant. The Rockets were eliminated over the weekend by the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs, and Kevin Durant was the center of attention once again. He barely played. The Rockets were able to get 2 games on the Lakers. Should the Rockets trade KD run it back, or reinforce this team by trading some of their young assets for Giannis Antetokounmpo?
So I want to be an optimist here and say a lot of this happened because they didn't have a point guard. You know, I'm going to say that for some reason, Reed Shepard thought he was Klay Thompson and just starts shooting the ball like crazy, and he's not hitting any of his shots. But he's not running an offense. And they missed Fred VanVleet. I really do believe that. Amen Thompson is not a point guard. Can't do it. And Kevin Durant, I mean, in the regular season when he played, they were okay. But he wasn't much of a difference maker. The Phoenix Suns also almost made the playoffs. He really didn't matter, right? I think it's worth having a conversation with the Miami Heat to see what they would be willing to offer for Kevin Durant. I just think his best days are behind him. I don't see a situation where he's going to like Dirk Nowitzki this. You know, put a team on it like you talked about earlier, putting a team on your back, going to battle, hitting 90% of your shots. It just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I mean, I feel like sending him to the Warriors and them creating the Expendables like we talked about last week sounds much more satisfying than watching him run it back. I do believe that a lot of the players on this team got better because of Kevin Durant, because he was there, because he showed him some things. But he's not the ultimate team player. Like, he doesn't, I don't think he cares enough. I mean, this guy missed games because of a bone bruise. I know that hurts, but dude, your team got eliminated and you only played one game. Like, I would love to see Kevin Durant be going up against the Oklahoma City Thunder right now. That'd be awesome. But he's not. You know? And the thing about it is like, if you're not, if you have the chance of losing Kevin Durant for an extended period of time at any point in your season or your playoffs, then you can get rid of Kevin Durant. You know, it's just, we, you know, we talked about it with Clint D'Souza. It's like, oh, would you want LeBron or KD? No way. On the Knicks? No. That ship has sailed. Those pastures are over. So I think if he is value to the Heat, I'd shop him.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of what happened this year happened because they didn't have a point guard. I do think if they have a point guard next year, they should be a top three team.
Well, I saw a rumored package of Hero and Hovich going back to the Rockets in exchange for Kevin Durant. I'm not in love with that package.
Doesn't really do much for me.
No. Tyler Hero, they've been trying to get rid of, it feels like they've been trying to get rid of Tyler Hero for years. Like, he's always the center of any big-time trade package that, you know, I get he's a good shooter, but, and he's making $31 million a year, which is
That's absurd
to me. But, you know, like, he's a good player. I feel like you kind of have to run it back and hope that Fred VanVleet is healthy. Because if you look at the alternative, right, you trade KD. Let's say you make this trade with Miami. KD goes to Miami, Hero and Hovich go the other way. Or Hero and Wiggins go the other way. Does that make you any better? If you're the Rockets, does that really make you any better?
Not to contend against OKC, Minnesota, or Denver.
I agree. Now, if you go and you package some assets to the Bucks, if I'm the Bucks, it starts. I want Thompson. I want Shepard. Say again? Jabari Smith or Eason. One of the two. I feel like I'm gonna want some young players, and I'm gonna want some picks. Like, I'm trading you the identity of my team, but you're gonna pay for that. and it's going to cost you. And if you gut this team, is a team with Van Vliet, KD, and Giannis as your big three, is that good enough to... I don't think so.
No, those are just a bunch of stars that are past their prime.
Not with KD's recent injury history, not with Giannis's back problems, and Van Vliet is coming off of an injury. Like, I feel like you kind of just have to hope for the best here. Because you're going to set Milwaukee up for a nice little future, and then what are you going to be left with when Durant chases a new experience or decides that retirement is his new experience? You're going to be left holding the bag. And then you're going to be Milwaukee South with Giannis playing Hamlet. Right? You just replaced one headache for another.
Right.
So I think they painted themselves into a corner, and you know, the Rockets are going to have to, they're going to have to live with this, and they're going to have to try and make it better, and they're going to have to try and make it work, because the alternatives, unless you can pull a rabbit out of your hat, the alternatives just aren't there.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutdnz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have former Smack and Kill head football coach, our resident Knicks fan and Yankees fan and Jets fan, Clinton D'Souza. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's an exciting time to be a New York fan, you know?
Sort of. allegedly, exciting, actually, I'd say.
Come on.
Oh, well, we'll see. We'll see how tonight goes for you. Listen, we want to start off with football first. You know, we'll start you off with this. The NFL draft took place 2 weeks ago, and your Jets found themselves in a familiar spot, picking number 2. Oddly enough, the Jets did not opt for an unproven quarterback from a weak conference this time. They took David Bailey, a defensive end from Texas Tech. So what do you know about David Bailey, and how long will it take for him to make the Jets better on defense?
I know he's a productive sack guy and someone that can put pressure on the quarterback. That's kind of just his strength. I'm not sure about him against the run, so I'm a little worried there. Will McDonald and him will only be specialty guys, I guess. But if he can prove himself to be, you know, a three down guy, then it's a great pick. I think he's more established than Arvell Reese, so I was kind of happy that they went in that way, because we've tried projects before and we're just not good at developing them. So I'd rather take the guy who doesn't need developing, and maybe he can just go out there and create some sacks.
Very, very interesting take by you. He's not the project. Avril Reese is the project. Okay. I mean, interesting.
Well, I mean, that's what all the pundits are saying, and he's going to be an off-ball linebacker, and yeah, that's not what we need.
They don't
develop
well.
We need someone to get after the quarterback.
They don't develop well. They also don't get the sure things well. So
yeah, no, yeah. Until it's proven on the field, you never know. Like we win another offseason. We are the offseason champions.
Champs.
Whether it's
champs.
Getting Aaron Rodgers or drafting 3 first round picks, it doesn't matter. The hype's real.
Not a lot of star-studded defensive players have come out of Texas Tech, but hey, man, David Bailey, you could be the first one. We're all rooting for you, David. So the Jets.
I mean, Quinnen Williams was from Alabama. He didn't help us win a championship. So you know.
I think he's going to be pretty good for Dallas, though.
We'll see.
I think he's going to be all right there. So the Jets GM, Darren Moogie, completely changed the Jets drafting process this year, combining all of the different voices in their war room into one board. The scouting department created a universal draft sheet that everyone in the room aligned with on to evaluate players. How do you feel about using this method to draft players?
Well, if it's new, it's for us, because what's been done in the past did not work. So if he's going to switch it up, you might as well give it a switch now, because I'd beg to think if that process was the same back when we drafted Zach Wilson wouldn't have been drafted, because everyone, even people on a couch, could say, huh, that kid looks like he's 14 and has never played against a real defense before. So, you know, my daughter's Ken doll looks like him. So, like, yeah. it's enough already. But if that's the process that he wants to go with and it hopefully produces talent that can contribute right away, then we'll see. But again, it's based on the Underwear Olympics that is the Combine. It's based on college game film. So hopefully it translates to actual NFL production.
I like the Underwear Olympics. That's a nice name for the combine. I like that there. Don't worry. Zach Wilson will be bagging groceries by the end of the year. But shortly before the start of the new league year, the Jets opted to trade for former Jets quarterback Geno Smith. When Aaron Glenn was asked about acquiring Geno Smith, Glenn responded, "I think Geno can lead us to the promised land." So when you were asked that question after you found out Geno was acquired in a trade by your team, is that how you responded too?
Yes, because the promised land is the first pick in the NFL draft next year. So Geno's going to lead us right to that doorstep. So I would say, yes, he's going to deliver us Arch Manning.
He's got the talent, right?
He's got the chuck the ball down the field to the other team talent that's going to get us to picking a quarterback next year.
Oh, Jesus. Are they
that's what he meant about promised land.
I don't know, man. The Manning family isn't exactly keen on letting the Jets take their family. And Dante Moore said, fuck that. So I don't know.
Yeah. Coming back to school. I got a grad program here?
He's going to get his doctorate before he becomes a Jet.
I'll become a podiatrist before I go there.
God damn it. So moving over from the clown show that is the Jets to one of the few bright spots in New York sports, we're going to talk Knicks basketball. So things have certainly lined up for them with Boston getting bounced by the Sixers. In game one, the Knicks showed the semi-Sixers why they were favored, and Joel Embiid is out tonight. Where's your confidence level right now compared to last round?
Well, they're playing terrible tonight. So as expected, because Joel Embiid is a parking cone on defense. So that's what made Brunson so good in game one. Now they got athletes all over the court. So it's going to be a tighter game. I mean, they're in the lead right now. So hopefully they can take it into the second half and put the pedal to the metal. But there's no confidence level. If you're a true Knicks fan, you know. Each game is like heart attack city and gonna have to grind it out. So like the last four games are just an anomaly in my mind. Like I've never felt that, never had that energy of I'm gonna go to bed in the middle of the fourth quarter of a playoff game and like smiling. That's never happened to me. So usually I'm pacing around and this game's lining up that I'm gonna be pacing around my living room having heart palpitations trying to grind out a win.
Sounds like Nick basketball.
Exactly.
Pretty much. So we're in the same bracket. We're staying in the Eastern Conference. The Pistons seem to return to form after coming back from that 3-1 deficit to Orlando. And still, the Pistons showed how vulnerable they are when Cade Cunningham gets locked down. But I don't think anybody's scared of the Cavs. Is this series, is Knicks 76ers the pathway to the finals? In your opinion?
I don't know if the 76ers have if Joel Embiid's gonna play, like he's a legit liability. He's a knee snap away from being out for the series, and he's a liability on defense, and Maxey's not a great defender either. So, you know, a lot of teams can put them in a bind, and Cade's just a bigger version of, you know, a bigger version of Jalen. So, to me, the Pistons still scare me. They've punked us all year, and they're ready for us, and they want us. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they swept the Cavs and are waiting for us in the finals.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that considering what attrition the Pistons just went through. And you know, the Cavs with James Harden, can just end that experiment right now.
It was never a good move for them.
But you're happy with Jalen Brunson, right? You're happy. Would you prefer having Donovan Mitchell, or are you happy with Jalen
Brunson? No, I'm happy with Jalen Brunson. Like, he legit can put a team on his back, and I think he has the right pieces around him. Now that they've decided to run the offense through Cat and have Mikhail bring it up in different points, like, I think that's good. But he can be ball dominant when he needs to be. I just feel like the more ball movement we have, the more people involved, the more dangerous we are. So, especially against the Pistons, who are going to press him full court and make his life miserable.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the blueprint with this. Physicality definitely is going to be a problem for the Knicks. But, you know, we'll get you out of here on this one. So when the Knicks were struggling last week against the Hawks, there were rumors around the old water cooler that Mike Brown was getting canned and Billy Donovan was coming into town. There were also rumblings of how the Knicks should trade for Giannis and maybe Kevin Durant. Like, do the Knicks need to win a championship to, like, stave off all of these significant changes, or are we running this roster back a la the Yankees?
If they don't get past this round, there's going to be a significant amount of changes. If they don't get to the finals, I think there'll be at least a push for Giannis. If that doesn't happen, if they get to the finals, I could see them trying to run this back. You know, because the Thunder are a legit dynasty in the making. They're a hard team to beat. So, you know, I think each stage will depend. If we don't get past this round, there's going to be a lot of changes, including Mike Brown. If we don't get if we get to the finals and don't make it happen, then I think they run it back. But if they don't get to the finals, I think Kat's gone and Giannis is here.
Mm. Interesting. So what would that package look like in your mind? Would it be Kat and a bunch of second rounders, or like, you know, or is it you get another team involved? Or
they're going to want Bridges too.
They're going to, that's okay. They can take Bridges. They're going to want OG. I don't want them to give up OG. I'd rather them give up Bridges in that trade. If they want OG, I think you run it back with Kat and OG and, you know, try to make things happen. So,
but you are vehemently shaking your head no to Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no, get that out. Are you insane? No way. And Stephen A's popping off about LeBron coming here for his farewell tour. No, get out of here. Not if we have to give up anything for him. If he's coming here on a free dime, sure, be a guy. be someone.
Be a guy.
Make lots of money off of New York City. But other than that, like, we're not giving anything up for LeBron, in my mind. LeBron and KD, if it was, you know, 2010, sure, but it's 2026.
I mean, the cool thing would be is that we could all go to the Westchester County Center and watch Bronny play.
Yeah. Yeah. Very so true.
Not a bad idea.
I think they are a package. They are a package deal. Yeah.
Take it, please.
Oh, well, Clint, this
LeBron in New York would be interesting at this point. With this team, with the team that's here, adding in a player like LeBron.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it has to be the team that's here. It can't be OG going for LeBron.
No, but I can see the Lakers saying they'd want Kat, and they would take Bridges.
Okay,
and you take LeBron, Bronny, and I don't think they would give up Austin Reeves, but maybe another player.
Okay,
Connect gets no burn for them.
Say again.
Connect gets no burn for them. I might.
Yeah, Connect would be nice. Yeah. I could just see him playing well with this team.
Then you have to re-sign Mitch because he's your center.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mitch
yeah.
would have to play. You might have to pick somebody else up too.
Yep.
But I think it's not terrible.
Never know. Let's just keep winning.
I mean, they could do something really crazy and bring in, noted Nick villain Trae Young. I'm sure his asking price will be low. You know, the Wizards are going to want a ham sandwich.
Nah, he's looking forward to rotting in Washington with Anthony Davis. Doesn't want to play. There's no winning there. They're just going to be terrible forever.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play. Who are we kidding?
They're going to be on the bench, both of them, watching the entire season watching like they did this year.
Oh shit. Right, well, former Spac and Kill head football coach Clinton D'Souza, our resident Knicks, Yankees, Jets fan. Thank you for coming on, brother. And if you want to join us on the In Route, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next. Clinton D'Souza, thank you for coming on, brother. And hopefully we will have you on for the championship parade.
Right, enjoy. I'll be the second there. Half. I'll go live from the
correspondent.
Parade.
The correspondent.
Love it. Be a correspondent for that one.
All right, guys, thanks for having me.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Mets! Again. Jesus.
They did! That's awesome.
A bad run of luck for the Mets. Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step on up and beat the Mets. Apparently everybody can, and everybody is. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
Man, could the Mets make it for a third week in a row?
They could. Sure, they
come up with something.
Anything is possible.
All right. So first up, I've got, I guess, forward Kevin Durant of the Houston Rockets. Played in one playoff game as the Lakers crushed the Rockets in six games. Did not play because of a knee contusion and a left ankle sprain. Kevin Durant showed that LeBron is far superior to him in every single way. Kevin Durant, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Chris Paddock was a pitcher for the Miami Marlins. He was drafted by the Marlins. Once upon a time ago, back in 2015. Then he moved around. I think at one point he was on the Padres. I think that's when I got his signed rookie auto. And I got it graded 9 by Beckett.
9.
And this guy just hasn't done diddly squat since then. To the point for now, since he has a 7 ERA, he's been DFA'd. You can't even play for the Marlins. You're supposed to be the next phenom great pitcher, and you are basura. Chris Paddock, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, Austin Reeves, guard for the late Lakers. In game one against Oklahoma City Thunder, 36 minutes, 8 points, 3 for 16. Why even bother coming? Why bother playing? What is that? What the fuck? What kind of stat line is that? Austin Reeves, you are my alleged superstar of the week. We got Z.
Clearly a tune-up because Austin Reeves, you know, needed to get back out onto the court. But
is he playing better tonight?
Probably not. By the way, Knicks won. 108-102. Let's go. 2-0 series lead. So there's that. No Embiid, no problem.
Oh, they didn't play.
No.
They're playing tomorrow.
So I'm going to start with the Edmonton Oilers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Man.
Might be time to break them up. Might be time to break it up. The reigning, defending, back-to-back Western Conference champions bounced by Rangers West. Let's fucking go. Currently, the Rangers West, they are down one game to none to the Torts Knights. So there's that. But we need to have a serious conversation about Edmonton at this point. Is it time to break them up? You might have to. The whole is not as good as the sum of its parts. Bouchard can probably get you something. McDavid will definitely get you a lot. Draisaitl will definitely get you a lot. This team was not a goalie away, right? That's what Arthur Staple said, and we agreed with him, and it proved as much. You got bounced by the fucking Rangers. Like, that's all you need to know. Edmonton Oilers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, that's right. Two hockey teams.
Oof.
Yeah. 9 fucking shots. Yeah. How do you give up 9 shots on goal and lose? How? With Vasilevsky in goal. How? Montreal moves on. They won 2-1. 2 goals on 9 shots. That doesn't compute, dude. That's soccer. Two goals on 9 shots on goals is a soccer number. That is not... It's unfathomable. But here we are. The two of the stronger teams and two teams that could have made a run. Both out. Tampa Bay Lightning, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Manchester City. A 3-3 draw at Everton all but takes Man City out of contention for the Premier League championship. Mm. So it looks like Arsenal might finally get the job done. And they're also in contention, Arsenal is, to win the Champions League. So they can go from the ultimate bottler, the ultimate bridesmaid, to having the Champions League and the Premier League in the same season. No trouble, though. But all Man City had to do was beat my Everton. Ha! Didn't happen. Suck on that. Manchester City, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.